bananas. Do you know why you don't take a banana on a fishing trip? If you don't know, Google it. It's interesting. You got a bunch of friends who guide, and they always take pictures and post them up and send them out. And say, don't people know not to bring bananas on a boat when you're going fishing? It's got something to do with the banana trade back when you had the tall-masted ships. Bananas, when they're ripe, I mean, when they're before they're ripe, they will stay fairly stable. But once they start rotting, they get this mass of goo, and it will actually shift the weight in a boat. And you had a lot of banana boats that turn turtle. So if you go fishing, don't take bananas. Some guides might even throw you overboard. Who knows? Wow, isn't today just what you were thinking about back in January and February when you said spring is coming? Maybe a little bit windy, but boy, it is absolutely gorgeous out there. I wouldn't even mind if you were outside doing something and couldn't hear the show, but you can always listen to it on podcast. Anyway, this is Roger Metz. I'd like to welcome you to another afternoon on Woods and Water, South Carolina. You can listen to this show right there on your FM dial. You can go to the Conservative Talk website, conservativetalk945.com, and click the Listen Live link on the right-hand side of the page, or you can download the free Conservative Talk 945 app for your phone or tablet. You can also look at what Woods and Water has been up to at facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. Follow or tag your pictures on Instagram at #WoodsAndWaterSCRadio, or go to the website, which is woodsandwatersc.com, to see more pictures and listen to those weekly podcasts. I don't know about y'all, but I had a great time down at the Palmetto Sportsman's Class last weekend. I hope you made it down to Columbia and enjoyed what is our state's largest outdoor show. Ben Lancaster, who, by the way, Ben, if you're listening, I don't appreciate you sending me pictures of turkeys while I'm sitting here in the studio. Obviously, he got one a few minutes ago. But we had a good time. Met a lot of people. Some of you probably listening right now for the first time. I want to welcome you to the show. And I want to clarify just one thing about last Saturday. If you've been to the Facebook page and seen the picture where Captain Wild Bill has his hands around my neck, that was not staged. That was just what he did. And I don't know why, because the interview was pretty good. We had talked for 15 or 20 minutes before we took that picture, and that's just what he did. Now maybe we know why the greenhorns on his boat want to get off. But I had fun talking to him, and there is a 99.99% chance he'll be back here on Woods and Water later on this year. We're going to be working on some kids fishing stuff with him. Don't know if it's going to happen in South Carolina, but it'll be fun to see what happens. And for those new listeners, this show always starts off with a calendar of events and, you know, things you can do across our state that are outdoors, things that I like to do, maybe. But and this one's packed because I won't be here next Saturday. So let's get right to it because there's a lot on it. One really cool, if you've listened to this show very long, you know that I guess astronomy is a strong word for it. I like to see the stars. Got a little email reminder. Spot the station. If you've never been outside and watched the space station go across the sky, you can do it tonight. Saturday, April the 4th, 8:56 p.m. It's going to be visible for 6 minutes. 66 degrees is the maximum height, so not quite two-thirds of the way up to 90 degrees, or I guess a little bit over two-thirds. It's going to come in from the southwest, disappear northeast. Always a fun little thing. We go out in the backyard and watch it come, and it's pretty bright. When you see it, you won't have a doubt that you're looking at the space station. So, hey, just one of those little things. Get out there and see what you can see tonight. Next Saturday, the reason I won't be here is because I will be judging at the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off Championships down in Belton, South Carolina. I'm kind of looking forward to it. Fat Matt Lusk asked me what I wanted to judge. I said, something that's really mild. So he gave me chili verde and homestyle chili. But anyway, that's happening down in Belton next Saturday. Schedule pretty much runs. You know, they're going to have street fair and inflatables, kids' activities, crafts, and all. So next Saturday, you could come down there and eat some chili and then listen to the show on your way home. So that's in Belton next Saturday. And hope you'll make an effort to be down there. It's going to benefit the Belton Interfaith Ministry Association, the Area Museum Association, and the Belton Center for the Arts. And next weekend, going on, this is going to be fun, is the Marine Corps Air Station Beaufort Air Show down in Beaufort, South Carolina. That's not Beaufort, North Carolina. That's Beaufort, South Carolina. Got a funny story to tell you one of these days about somebody that was supposed to be in Beaufort and instead went to Beaufort because they didn't know how the pronunciations were different. But anyway, April the 11th and 12th, down at Marine Corps Air Station Beaufort. Of course, the U.S. Navy Blue Angels will be there. They're going to have an F-35B demonstration, which is the newest multi-role fighter. The GEICO Skytypers, who fly SNJs, 2s, or T-6s if you're on the trainer side. Patty Wagstaff will be there. Mike Glenn. The Marine Air-to-Ground Task Force demonstration will be there. They're flying the Ospreys. They're going to have an AV-8B Harrier demonstration. Rob Reeder will be an announcer. American Idol Candace Glover will be there. I guess she's going to sing the national anthem. Maybe she'll perform. Parris Island Marine Corps Band will be there. The Disabled American Veterans will have a B-25 Mitchell there. And I actually am on the waiting list to fly in that thing, which will be really neat. Rob Holland will be there with his MX aerobatic plane. Jim Tobel will be flying a Korean War Chance Vault F-4U Corsair. The parachute team from the United States Special Operations Command will be there. And they're also going to have the F-16 Viper demonstration, which is that team is based at Shaw Air Force Base, and the P-51 Heritage Flight. So next weekend, depending on what the weather, it looks a little iffy on Sunday. Saturday looks pretty good. You may want to take a trip down to Beaufort and see some aviation for the weekend. To the South Carolina State Parks website, Camping Through the Ages. This is going to be April the 11th, 10 to 4. It's Kings Mountain State Park. Camping has evolved from a basic survival need in a lean-to shelter to camping for recreation in a house on wheels. While the need for outdoor living as well as the gear have changed over the years, the bonds that are formed from this activity have not. Join us for Camping Throughout the Ages at the Living History Farm, where we're displaying camping setups, including the basic lean-to, all the way to vintage campers and today's pull-behinds. And this will be a good chance for you to find out what's out there, get involved in camping, because it is. It's experiences and memories you'll have for the rest of your life. Didn't want you to forget, but there are ongoing coyote biology and control programs across the state. These are put on by the Department of Natural Resources in conjunction with Clemson University Extension and the South Carolina Trappers Association. Talked to those guys last weekend, which was interesting. There are about 700 trappers in South Carolina, which is up last year. It's being put on by Jay Butler-Filosky. I went to the one here in Greenville. The next one is going to be April the 14th in Georgetown, April the 21st, Kershaw, April the 28th, Edgefield, May 12th, Bamberg, June 2nd, Calhoun County. Go to the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources website, Google the Coyote Biology and Control Program, and go. It's $10, unless otherwise noticed, and a lot of information, and may get you involved in trapping. Nothing else, it'll alert you to what danger the coyotes pose to us here in South Carolina, our wildlife and our little cats and dogs. Glendale Outdoor Leadership School over here in Glendale, South Carolina, is having a kayak roll clinic. It says, are you looking to step your kayaking up a notch? Or are you a seasoned pro just looking to knock the dust off before you hit the river? You can join the GOLD staff for the kayak roll clinic. It's going to be at the Spartanburg Athletic Club. It's 2420 Andrews Road, Spartanburg. Cost is $5 to get in, and that includes your gear and the coaching. It's going to be April the 14th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Contact Jay Ellison, 864-529-0259, or you can go to www.setgoals, that's SETGOLS.com for more information. Charleston. Big time in Charleston coming up here, and I'll get to one of them probably before we have to go to the break, and then there's a couple more coming up, but it's going to be a busy couple of weekend in Charleston, the 16th to the 19th. First one up is Charleston Race Week. If you like sailboats and all, then this is for you. It's 20 years. 20th year you've had the Charleston Race Week, and a lot going on. It's all going to be based out there at the Charleston Harbor Marina and Resort. If you want to get inside the party, you got to have passes, but a lot of this stuff will be visible from the bridge, both peninsulas. So, anyway, Charleston's a big one. So, you might want to think about going to Charleston for the weekend because there's a lot more going on that weekend. Hang with us through the break. We'll be back, cover a little bit more of the calendar events, and move on to the rest of the show. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's a little of it, an extended version of the calendar of events, because it's going to have to last you for a couple of weeks. And a lot of stuff to do out there. Anyway, back to Charleston. If you want more information on the Charleston Race Week, that's charlestonraceweek.com. A lot of more information there. Yeah, I just looked at something. It does have the right date. They've got the wrong on the website. They've got 2014, but it is 2015. Okay, anyway. In Charleston again, April 17th through the 19th, Brittlebank Park and Bristol Marina. It's the Charleston In-Water Boat Show. That's right out there at Lockwood Boulevard in Charleston, April 17th to the 19th. Hours Friday, noon to 7, Saturday, 10 to 7, Sunday, 11 to 5. Tickets are $10. A two-day pass is $15. Kids 15 and under is free. You're going to have a lot of boats. Those in-the-water boat shows are always so much more fun than the ones on the trailers. But anyway, just another reason to go to Charleston that weekend. And the third one, which I had pulled out for this segment anyway, and we'll just go ahead and go through it, is the East Coast Paddle Sports and Outdoor Festival. That's April 17th, 19th in Charleston. And I love how they start this out. This is part of Charleston County Parks and Recreation Commission website. So if you want more information, you can go there and find it. Come quickly, have found heaven, wrote artist Alfred Huddy to his wife in 1919, shortly after his arrival in Charleston, South Carolina. And yes, if you've ever been there, you know how beautiful that city is. This one starts out, whether you're a devoted outdoor sporting enthusiast or just beginning to explore nature's background, you'll find your perfect fit for fun and fitness at this amazing three-day festival. Canoeing, kayaking, paddleboarding, rock climbing, slacklining, mountain biking, archery, even disc golf. There's something for everyone. And it says, from rigging, fishing, birding by boat, festival goers can enjoy hands-on workshops and demonstrations taught by leading professional instructors. That's true. I know a few of them are going to be down there. They have some daily and weekend packages. You can find out more. There's going to be 48 classroom presentations, on-water beginner classes, on-water master classes, boat demos, climbing wall access. They got a Friday night social, a reggae concert, a Saturday night dinner, if you have the full weekend Saturday daily package only. So I was looking here. The full weekend's $155. Friday's $85. Saturday's $85, includes dinner. Sunday, $75. And they are open water performing, paddling, practical navigation, sea kayaking, and tidal currents. Worst case scenarios. Gotta love that one. They have a try-it zone. Birding by boat. Fly fishing. Intermediate sea kayak. Rescues and recovery. Trip planning and group dynamics. And it goes on. The list is about 5 pages long for all the things that are going on while you're down there. Hand rolls and more. Wow. Art of maintaining your kayak. A women's survival guide to wilderness travel. That would be a good one, because there's not nearly enough things for our ladies out there. But anyway, so you got three things going on in Charleston. Like I said, springtime in Charleston is beautiful. I was down there a few weeks ago getting some pictures made for my daughter's high school graduation, and spring was already there. They were already blooming, so by 17th or so, it'll be really neat. And like I said, there's not nearly enough going on for our women out there in the outdoors, but the YMCA Camp Greenville Camp caters to women. This is an article, Jennifer Weaver, March 17th. Dropping my kids off at summer camp has always left me a little wistful. And if you listen to a couple of our shows early this spring when we talked to Camp Wildwood and the Youth Learning Institute camps at Clemson, you know what I mean. It's not just because I miss them, but because summer camp looks amazing and I'm too old. Why should kids have all the fun? So it says, fortunately for me, and this is the lady writing this, YMCA Camp Greenville is offering a camp experience that caters to women. Camp Greenville's Women's Wellness Weekend is offered in the spring and fall, and the next one, of course, April 17th to the 19th. So if you can't get to Charleston, can't get your husband to take you to Charleston, get him to send you to Women's Wellness Weekend. Hit all the things that are fabulous about camp, beautiful hikes and views, zip line tours, crafts, the grown-up type, and a campfire for roasting marshmallows. Weekend also has fitness classes, nutrition, and healthy cooking classes. You stay at the cabins at Camp Greenville. You can go to their website. Well, I don't have it printed on here. Well, would you look at that? It doesn't have anything on there. So anyway, I'm sure if you go to Camp Greenville or Google the YMCA Camp Greenville Women's Wellness Weekend, you'll find it. But anyway, something for you ladies out there to go have a weekend away and be like at summer camp again. The Department of Natural Resources has these going on all summer, but Lake Murray, they have a boating safety class April the 18th. The one-day course about boating safety is certified by the DNR, and graduates will be awarded the South Carolina Boater Education Card. It's April 18th, 8:30 to 5 p.m., the American Legion Post at 102 Old Lexington Road in Chapin. And, of course, the rule in South Carolina is boaters under 16 years of age are required by law to pass an approved boater education course before operating, without adult supervision, a personal watercraft, PWC, or a boat powered by a motor with 15 horsepower or more. So, like I said, this is one down at Lake Murray. Department of Natural Resources offers them, too, and you can actually take them online. So if you've got a youngster out there that's going to be driving a boat on the lake this summer, or even for some of us adults who are first-time boat owners, be a good thing to do. Clemson University, they're going to have a Lake Hartwell Cleanup Green Up 2015, Saturday, April 18th, 12 a.m. to 11:59. And there are more dates through April 25th, but this is the Lake Hartwell Association is partnering with the Army Corps of Engineers and Clemson Extension to host a week-long litter pickup on the shoreline of Lake Hartwell. Main work day is April 25th. Find more information, wow, www.sas.usace.army.mil/okay, whatever. Just Google Lake Hartwell Cleanup 2015. And take advantage. Go out there and give back to the environment that we also enjoy being out in. And I think the last thing for this week is the Department of Natural Resources is going to host a youth turkey clinic April 25th in Chesterfield County. This is in conjunction with the Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One program. It's a free turkey clinic. It's 9:45 in the morning to 3 p.m. It's going to be at the Chesterfield County The clinic will be held in Chesterfield County and sponsored by the local Buckmasters. The clinic will introduce students to turkey calling, hunting, preparing blinds, marksmanship skills, as well as game care and prep. They had one of these a day or so ago closer, but I'd missed the original one, but this is a good one. If you want to go, Lieutenant Kim Leverich at DNR is your contact. You can go to the website and find out more information about that. So like I said, there's a couple of weeks. Uh-oh, forgot one. This is one that came across right before I was leaving. The Hub City Hog Fest. It's, I believe this is over in Spartanburg. Friday, April the 17th. Lunch, some of the upstate's best food trucks. RJ Rocker's Happy Hour with musical guest John Dungan. Hub City Wing Off. Come sample some chicken wings, meet the teams, and hear some live music. And Justin McCorkle Band's going to be there, The Consumers, at 8:30. So a lot of music going on. Saturday, that's when you're going to get to sample a lot of stuff. They've got more musical acts. So that's 417, 418, Hub City Hog Fest over in Spartanburg. And as always, I'll be putting the calendar up on the Facebook page, although I forgot this week. Apologize for that. And I'll have the event, the date, location, website for each going on or each thing on the calendar. Please check those out and make sure there's no last-minute changes. And, of course, always check the weather. I want to say I've got to congratulate the Upstate Hurricanes archery team. If any of you guys are out there listening, you're all smiles right now because you know what I'm about to say. They went to the South Carolina State tournament last week. I guess week before last, on a Thursday. It would have been Thursday before the Classic. And 24 kids on the middle school team came home with a third-place trophy in state, and 24 kids on the high school team brought home first place, knocking off Mid-Carolina, who had taken that trophy home for the last 9 years. Congratulations, Hurricanes. This is quite an accomplishment for a program that is less than 2 years old. The key to the win? One word, consistency. I had an official at the tournament, and we were kind of talking back and forth. He said, those kids in black and red shirts know the form. Even though they might not all shoot the 280s or 290s, he said, all those kids shoot consistently better than the other teams, and this was through 3 rounds at 10 meters and 3 at 15, and that's why they took the top spot. So congratulations, guys. Coaches Patrick Pusateri and Jason Bergeron, of course, Colleen Pusateri, who keeps all the kids and us parents straight, but most of all to the kids that are members of the Upstate Hurricanes archery team. And can I just say, a storm is coming to Louisville, Kentucky, at the Nationals. Luckily for me, the National Deer Alliance convention is the same weekend, so I will be there to see you guys shoot at Nationals. Yeah, I tell you, if you're not in the National Archery and School programs and your kids got an inkling of of liking to shoot a bow. It's just a place to put them. From archery to fishing. Department of Natural Resources, and this is almost like a continuation of the calendar, but it's really not. This is an opportunity for you to get the kids out there and get them fishing in an environment where they're going to catch fish. Trust me. I went to several of them last spring, and everybody was catching fish. So anyway, these fishing rodeos are for youths aged 6 to 15, must be accompanied by an adult, and no adults, you cannot fish. Pre-registration is preferred, but it's not mandatory. You can go to the Department of Natural Resources website and register online or call 803-737-8483. Sign-in occurs 15 to 30 minutes prior to the fishing rodeo. And some of these, now some of these will have fishing rods. They give them away. I know the one at Draper last year, they had fishing rods for every kid that came through. Some of them, like the one up at the Piedmont Tree Nursery, didn't. You had to bring your own. So you need to check these events out to see whether you'll need to bring your own or whether you'll come home with a brand new one. But this is good. They've got DNR officers there to help you. They bring in truckloads of fish. I know the one at the one I went to over at Draper, which is in York County, that was a blue catfish, and Draper has three ponds, but they're all over. They start April the 11th. In Dorchester County, you know, the 25th Blue Hole. May the 2nd starts a run of three from Draper across State Park, Starfort Pond. May 9th, Goose Creek, Sunrise Lake. May 16th, Barnwell County. You got one in Bulls Bay, Cohen Campbell Fish Hatchery. There's one in Darlington County. There's one at Foster Park Lake in Union. Then you've got Harold Pittman Memorial down at Blue Heron Fishing Hole. The Jimmy Shea Memorial at Lick Fork Lake in Edgefield. Piedmont Tree Nursery. June 6th, you've got one at Horry County at Carolina Forest. And October the 24th is the Succosty Fishing Rodeos. So you got a kid who's never been fishing. And I tell you, that, like I said, I talked to Ken Fleming yesterday. They go, they truck them all in. They dump them out there. You get to take them home. You kids learn how to fish. There's plenty of people around to help them if they've never been fishing. And it's all but a guaranteed thing. The one up at Piedmont Tree Nursery, that was a trout fishing one, which was kind of fun, in a stream. Get out there. Take your kids fishing. These are free. Go to the Department of Natural Resources website. Get the list together. Make plans to get to one, and you'll probably see me run around there somewhere. Hang on through the break. We'll be back. We've got Julie Huber from the FLW calling in. She's going to talk to us about the upcoming collegiate FLW Bass Fishing Championships on Lake Murray. Hang on, we'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Enough of me talking. On the phone with us right now, we have Julie Huber from the Fishing Lead Worldwide, or the FLW, as everybody knows it. Julie, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Now, Julie's from Minnesota, right?
I am, yes.
So you'll notice the accent, but hey, we love it.
Don't keep holding it against me.
No, trust me, I won't. And I know Julie from the FLW Cup because she sat behind me most of the days in the media section or was running around trying to do this or that.
Yeah, I do a lot of running, a lot.
You do. But that was a great time. I had a ball at the FLW Cup. And how in the world are y'all coming back to South Carolina with another championship?
Well, you saw how exciting the first one was.
It was.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I mean, it came down to literally ounces.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think we've had a more exciting championship than that one. And that's just it. I mean, Murray is an exciting lake. Fish are going to be caught. It's a great place to fish. Kids are going to love it. I mean, it just has all the elements. We've got the support from the community, a great place to have an event, and it's just exciting to come back.
Yeah, we are. We actually are the host. Columbia is the host city, and the University of South Carolina Anglers are in the championships and are the host fishing club. So it's going to be an exciting time. I don't know if we can pull off three major fishing wins in a row, but boy, I tell you, we're sure going to put the pressure on them to do it for us.
There's a good chance.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Julie, what you do for the FLW, and then let's talk about the collegiate fishing championships coming to Lake Murray.
Sure. I've been with FLW for about 5 years. I started in 2009, which is the year actually we were just getting into full swing with the college program when I started there. So it's really pretty near and dear to my heart. I kind of grew up with the program,
okay.
And it's so exciting to watch these kids fish and, you know, watch them start. And as they evolve, so many of the kids now have transitioned into fishing a lot of, you know, even on, some of them are on tour right now, but a lot of them are fishing the BFLs, the Rayovacs, and fishing as co-anglers as well. So it's just been really fun to watch them transition from that, given the college opportunity that they were to fish and then moving into make it a career for them. But anyway, back, I started in the communications department, so I was doing a lot of the PR work, and now I've kind of realmed into the beast that we now know as social media. my hat is kind of in both places right now.
I gotcha. So. But yeah. you are the lady to that's going to be here in Columbia. The collegiate fishing program, so it's, what, 2005? So it's, what, 10 years old or so?
2008 we started it, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So 7, 8 years old. How many, I don't know if you have this, how many collegiate teams are there in the FLW ranks?
Right now we're close to 800. We had, when we started the program in 2008, we had 91 clubs that were involved, and we've grown. I mean, it's been phenomenal. The growth of college fishing has absolutely been phenomenal, and right now we're right around 800 clubs that participate throughout the country.
And how many are going to be here in Columbia?
50.
50?
Yeah.
800, you've got to be, wow, that's...
pretty competitive.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, we have the five divisions. So
okay.
We have a Western Division, we have the Southeast Division, we have the South Division, Central and North. And we take the top, they fish three qualifying events.
Right.
The top 15 teams from each of those qualifying events then make it into an invitational.
Okay.
It's the invitational that they qualify for the championship. So we've got 10 teams from each one of the regions that will be represented at Lake Murray in a couple weeks.
Do you know what the furthest team is coming? How far are they coming? Do you know?
You know, right now I'm University of Oregon would be the furthest team that we've got coming right now.
And they're not trailering a boat all this way, are they?
You know, they have to.
Wow. What a haul.
It's a long haul. It really is. But, you know, these kids are so committed to the fishing and what they do and so excited about it. And, of course, you know, when you're in college, you don't think about those things.
No.
Kind of a different lifestyle.
And most of these collegiate teams, they're not sponsored by the college, correct?
They are not. They most of them, they have to set up the club. So the rules state that you have to be in a 4-year accredited college,
okay,
or university, and then have a club that is recognized by the school. So even though it's not sponsored by the school necessarily, it does have to be recognized by the school.
Okay.
So it does fall under the school's policies and procedures for the clubs that do exist on campus.
But they raise all the support they need, or it's out of pocket for them to participate, correct?
Correct, yes.
Which takes a lot of parents getting involved, I'm sure.
You know, it does, and a lot of these kids, though, they earn it through the tournaments, too, and they do fundraisers, and, you know, I think that it really depends on how active the club is. I mean, we've got clubs that are 5 people because it's just kids that want to fish and participate,
right,
in tournaments. It's a very active clubs. I think the ones that kind of stick out in my mind are at Indiana and Purdue, have very active, they raise funds, they're very competitive, they fish a lot of tournaments, they do the fundraisers, so it really kind of depends on how active and how big that club really is as to where they get their funding from. But it's different for every club.
Okay. Well, we start off, of course, Wednesday would be registration and all for the teams and all. Starting Thursday morning, people can watch it live. Now, from where is this all going to be taking place at Lake Murray?
Sure. We are going to be taking off from Dreher Park at 7 o'clock every morning. So Thursday and Friday will be the full field of 50 boats.
Okay.
Saturday we're going to cut down to the top 10, so only the top 10 boats will be taking off. But, at 7 a.m. is start time all 3 days.
Okay. And that's the Dreher Shoals landing down at the dam, correct?
Correct. That's yes, not, that's correct.
That's a little different than Drury Island State Park where the cup was blasting off from.
Correct, yep.
And there's not going to be the huge expo, but there will be a somewhat of an expo there at Carolina Stadium where the weigh-ins are taking place. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on at the expo?
Absolutely. We're running it, as you mentioned, the university there is co-hosting the event. The Bass Club there is hosting the event. We're doing it in conjunction with there's going to be a South Carolina Vanderbilt baseball game going out that weekend. So that's why we're holding it outside the stadium. So we'll be right outside the stadium. We will have an expo. There will be activities, a lot of tailgating type stuff where you've got the, I don't know, up here we call it beanbag toss, but I think it's cornhole.
Cornholing down here, yes.
Yes. There will be that. We do have the football toss. A lot of activities and games. A lot of our vendors will be there showcasing their products, of course.
Okay.
And just kind of a lot of, you know, different activities that are kind of geared more towards the collegiate aged person to come out and enjoy, and then we're hoping that they'll kind of mill around and then maybe go into the baseball game or stay for the weigh-in. Then the weigh-ins will be there beginning at 4 o'clock on Thursday and Friday. That will be preceding the baseball game.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, because it's an afternoon game, the weigh-in will be immediately after the game, and we're anticipating that to be about 5 o'clock.
Excuse me,
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock. And this is a great time for high schoolers who are thinking about going to college and being on the college team. This is tailor-made for them to show up and see what it's all about.
Absolutely. And, you know, I also have to say that the high school program is absolutely positively taking off. And there are some colleges now, I know Bethel comes to mind. Bethel University actually
right.
has scholarships that they're giving for Bass, the kids that want to come and fish, you know, get into the Bass program. And there are three, I think actually South Carolina is one of them, if I'm not mistaken, or else they were on the cusp. But there are three states, Kentucky is one of them, that actually sanction high school fishing, so which means that the state actually has state high school programs for these kids that are getting into high school.
And we do have that here in South Carolina.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think you just got it last year, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it's not that old here, but yeah, it's here.
No, it's not, but it's really, the high school program is just going by leaps and bounds, and it's a good opportunity for these high school kids to actually see, you know, to make that transition into college and to see what the college kids are going through and, you know, how they're fishing and how competitive they are. And I know at the high school level it's very different because the kids usually fish with a coach.
Right.
And at the college level they do not. You know, just kind of just to see what that next step is all about. And it's all, you know, and to visit the campuses, too, that really support these bass fishing programs is really important, I think, for them to be able to see that.
It's going to be fun. I've got about a minute left, but I wanted to thank you for coming on. More information, they can go to the FLW website and find out all about collegiate fishing.
Yep, flwfishing.com. It'll all be there, and we're very excited to come. We look forward to it, and I look forward to seeing you next week too, Roger.
Yes, ma'am, and I will be in touch with you about maybe getting to ride around the lake a little bit and chase down Geddes and Patrick as they fish.
Absolutely.
Not that they need any more pressure on them.
More pressure.
Well, Julie, thank you for coming on with me. I do. I look forward to seeing you again, and hopefully we'll have a little time to talk.
I hope so, too. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You take care.
You too.
Well, there you go. FLW Cup on Lake Murray, the Collegiate Championships on Lake Murray. Well, we're going to see if we can't get South Carolina to run the tables. Hang with us. Be back on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. And after getting all the details of what's going to go on down at Lake Murray in a couple of weeks, now we got the half of the team that's going to be under the most pressure. You're not feeling any pressure, are you, Geddes?
Well, I guess Anthony started it off good for us.
He did.
For us put cups.
Yeah.
And even my buddy Brian New from over at Lake Wiley went ahead and brought home the co-angler title, and then Casey Ashley went ahead with the Bassmaster Classic. So it would be nice to run the table for the state of South Carolina and, you know, the Carolinas as a whole. It's a great place to be fishing. Pressure's nice. It's not too bad. you know, it's different having a lot of media attention, I guess you would say. But it's at the end of the day, it's still fish, you know.
Right.
The
right.
bass never know if there's a camera boat in the boat with you. They don't know. I
yeah.
mean, so that's one of the beautiful things about fishing is there's no discrimination. So hopefully media pressure will not come into play a lot. You know, just handle it mentally and, you know, overcome that. And the best way somebody described it to me is like, well, kind of like playing golf, except there's somebody standing in front of the hole. So.
And that's before I get out there and start heckling you on the water.
That's right. And then you're going to be bad. And then we're really going to be worse.
That's right. I tell you
and
what.
By the way, you never told me how Skeet Reese caught those fish the first day of the classic.
Skeet Reese, okay, first cast, first fish came on a spoon.
Uh-huh.
A jigging spoon. And he wasn't jigging vertically. He was throwing up. You know, I couldn't tell what was under the water because he didn't have his back sonar on. He was throwing towards the bank, but it was kind of a rocky shelf bank.
Mm-hmm.
That was first cast, first fish. Second fish came on a spoon, too. And the rest of the day, he was throwing swim bodies, like a translucent, bluegillish, little flake paddle tail, probably, 5 inches long? And he was throwing docks and brush piles as we saw him and all that.
You know, well, look, he needed you on the boat to be able to replicate it.
Somebody asked me if he called me and wanted to be on the boat, wanted me to come back with him on Sunday. But I never got that call. You know, the bad thing about that was being a media marshal, you can't tell him what's going on. But we were at one dock, and he had fished both corners of the dock, and as the boat swung, because we were back in the back end of a pocket, as he swung the boat around, I was on the back of the boat, and as I came by that dock, I saw like a 4 or 5 pounder swimming the bank. That water was real clear, and I could see that fish just as plain as day, and my first intent was, Skeet, there's one right there! And I couldn't do that. But I mean, I really had to bite my tongue. Okay, well, how's practice been for you? I mean, you and Patrick.
Good. It went off limits. I believe the 30th.
Okay.
We really focused the last 2 days out there. We surprisingly didn't spend a whole ton of time during pre-practice.
Okay.
Out on the lake, just because we had other tournaments as well.
Right.
And for me, one of the keys in tournament fishing is just really staying on the water and just following the fish as they're currently going it. And sometimes, especially on your home lake. Or on some of your home waters, you spend too much time out there when the conditions are going to be completely upside down.
Right, right.
You know, it'll kind of actually mess you up a little bit. I mean, you can always try to forecast what's going to be happening, but you're never very sure of it. So you just kind of got to get out there and go fishing when it happens. So we have a day and a half, essentially, for pre-practice. Official practice.
Yeah, I was going to ask if y'all got a couple of days to fish before the tournament starts.
Yes, sir. So we'll be doing a lot of running around the lake, that's for sure.
Okay. All right. Are y'all doing anything special? I mean, are y'all as the host team, or y'all got any special duties during that week?
I'm sure that we'll have a booth at the expo, and I'm sure we'll be doing a lot with that. Scott Ellison and the guys over at FLW with the promotions department doing a great job with that, and you know, they're setting up all kinds of cool stuff, with it being in collaboration with the Vanderbilt South Carolina Home Game
right.
Series. That's going to be really neat. You know, it's always good to get out there and see and look at all the fans that care about fishing. And I think that's good for the school to see. I think that's good for, you know, other people that otherwise wouldn't see the effects that bass fishing can bring to college. And high school. So,
is this your last big one? I mean, don't you graduate here in a month
or
so?
Not.
Oh,
I hope not. I got one more year after this.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I've been fortunate enough to qualify for. This will be my second national championship, you know, hopefully, the sole goal to both of these, College Nation events is to make it to that one big one. It's
right.
The Forestwood Cup or the Bassmaster Classic. And
right.
That's one thing that the Carhartt BASS series and the FLW College Series has been, you know, has been very, very instrumental in. And, you know, it's crazy with the car BASS series, you can't even throw, you know, an Alabama rig
right.
anymore because the pros say, well, if you can make it through this, you got to have the same rules, which is
right.
completely understandable. And
right.
I know FLW's gone to three wire now. So.
Okay. Well, what do you think you're going to throw in that weekend?
Oh, we're going to have to wait and see.
Boy, talk about not giving me any hints at all. And you give me a hard time about not telling you what skeet was catching them on.
Hey, it's still a few weeks before the tournament. If I guessed, I wouldn't be able to catch them on it. I know how that works.
Yeah. Don't we all? Don't ever jinx yourself and tell anybody what you're going to catch them on.
Oh, you're right about that. You know, with Lake Murray and even Lake Hartwell, like we talked about a lot when we did the remote show at the Classic.
Right.
The herring move around a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, that's all I'm going to say. Because I don't know where they're going to be. There's
okay.
been guys and there's been pros that have fished out there for tons of years, a
right.
lot more experience than I ever thought about having on this lake.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all say the same thing. You know, when you get a pelagic bay fish in a close water reservoir, the bass act a little funny. So, you know, I think we'll see some bed fishing.
Okay.
I also think we'll see, you know, a variety of things going on. It's going to be a weird time. It's going to be a weird transition period for that lake. But overall, I think it should be a fun tournament. I think we'll see a lot of fish caught. There's actually a team that came down here during pre-practice that caught a 5-pound smallmouth out of the lake.
Oh, wow.
Not sure what school that was, but a 5-pound smallmouth out of Lake Murray is pretty remarkable.
I would have thought that water had been too warm for them.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be doggone. Okay, well, for seeing boat problems, we're not going to have any of those. We're not going to have any fishing problems. Weather should be okay. I'm going to be tailing y'all like a hound dog, so get used to it.
Hey, follow us around. We'll show you where it goes.
I will. We'll give you some good coverage.
Well, hey, you know, as long as there was one guy during the Forestwood Cup that was sitting on Gagliardi's spot when he started.
Did you see him? I wasn't out there, but did you see the video of him? I mean,
oh,
Anthony got into a... Well, Anthony was very cool, calm, and collected about it. The guy got
Anthony was very professional.
Wow.
The whole incident. And it was an amazing thing to see. Just the way he handled himself during that incident was great. Just because, you know, the guy's sitting there saying, well, man...
Don't show everybody my spot.
Yeah, well, not even that. He said, you make a living for your family fishing. He said,
yeah.
Well, I make a living doing what I love, and I'm sitting here working on $500,000.
That's right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's just one of those things that I doubt he'll ever fish another local tournament if he even tried. But not going to get into that.
Not going to go there. Well, look, bud, good luck.
I'll be in touch. You're going to be down there, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be there.
We'll talk before then, and, you know, hopefully all goes planned, and we'll bring a little bit more money and a little bit more pride to the state of South Carolina.
Hey, you're there already just being in the big show.
We appreciate it.
All right, Geddes, take care.
Yes, sir, you too.
Boy, that would be something, a year of bass fishing in South Carolina, to have the Forestwood Cup won by Anthony, who's from Prosperity, South Carolina. You've got Brian New bringing home the co-angler. Then you've got Casey Ashley winning the Bassmasters Classic on his home lake of Lake Hartwell. And then you got University of South Carolina on their home lake. Too much to ask for or not? I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to be down there again. But, wow, three big tournaments in South Carolina, and we're not done. We've got coming up, we've got, I can't remember the tournament trail, but we've got the Ray Scott Championship coming. Brian Boatwell, I cannot remember his tournament trail. But there's another one. Those two are both coming to Lake Hartwell, one this fall and one next spring. To say we're in the middle of some pretty good bass fishing water is an understatement. But anyway, hope you get down, make some time to get down to Columbia. Watch those college kids. They're fun to watch. You high schoolers out there that are thinking about college fishing, a great opportunity to meet the top 50 teams in the nation and meet these FLW people. That's a good, those are great contacts to have. I met Julie back in August at the Cup and Joe, and they were just a great bunch to work with. One last thing before we get to the end of the show. That's if you haven't done your taxes already and you want to have an impact in our South Carolina outdoors, there's two checkoffs on your South Carolina state return, one for the Endangered Species Fund and then one for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Fund. The form number, it's I-330. I encourage you to do that. I'm going to do it when I file mine, hopefully by the end of this week or first of next week. But anyway, good show. A lot of things on the calendar events. I'll put those on for Facebook as always. Go there, find something to do, and get outdoors with your kids or your husband, wife, whatever. Just be outside. Chuck Norris for this week. Chuck Norris's calendar goes straight from March the 31st to April the 2nd because nobody fools Chuck Norris. Next week, you're going to hear a show from last November. The usual schedule for this show is each quarter that has a fifth Saturday, we do a cooking show. But because there's so many things going on this spring, there wasn't time to fit one in. So while I'm down in Belton judging Homestyle and Chili Verde, you'll get to listen to Fat Matt Lusk with the South Carolina Chili Cook-Off, and I talk about, yes, chili. In fact, you can come to Belton, enjoy what they've got going on down there, listen to the show on your way home, find out how to make a really good pot of your own chili, be it Chili Verde, red chili, or the regular Homestyle with beans. Did I mention they also make homemade salsas at these events? I know Fat Matt makes a... Uh-oh. Karen just left me. But it was like a fruity salsa that tasted really good. Anyway, there's James in the background. That's all for this week. Get ready. Make this spring full of the outdoors. Be prepared and careful while you're out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget that camera. I'll talk to you later.